Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of Everyone is Hot, the podcast that talks about your favorite stealth sex symbols, and normally the film that turned you onto them, but we're shaking it up a little bit this week, and we are doing our inaugural TV episode. We are so excited. I'm Shelley Brooks, and I am flying solo this week. Michael is not here right now. Michael is very sad to be missing our first TV episode, but you know, we'll fill them in when they get back. But in the meantime, we've got an amazing guest this week. I am so excited to have this guest on. I'm a big fan of her podcast. I'm a big fan of her Twitter. We've got comedian, actor, writer, and host of the podcast, TV I Say, Ashley Ray. Yay!
I'm so happy to be here. Like, I, you know, it takes someone like me who it's all about TV to get you to talk about TV. So I'm really honored.
Oh, yes, exactly. You know, when I first reached out to you, like, you know, I sent the normal invite that includes film. And when you wrote back with TV ideas, I was like, duh, I can't ask Miss TV I Say herself to not talk about TV.
And also all my stealth, like, sexy crushes are TV people. That's like where I developed that. So,
yeah, especially now. I mean, this is where the stealth sexies live. They live on the TV.
Yeah, you know, everybody's doing their stealth little sexy TV moment because they know we're watching now. Now they know. So,
oh, exactly. We are streaming, baby. We are binging. So you have a really fun choice this week. I was so excited to see this one.
Yeah.
Ashley, who is your stealth sex symbol and what are we going to be talking about them in?
So my stealth sex symbol is John Reynolds, who we're going to talk about him being in season 2, episode 2, his debut in Yellow Jackets. He's in the entire season, but this is the first moment we kind of see him, get an idea of who he is. And why John Reynolds? See, I'm from the Midwest. That's where I was raised. There is, and he also is from the Midwest, not too far from where I grew up, but there's like this wholesome, wonderful, delicious, like Midwest hotness that I think is so overlooked, underappreciated. And John Reynolds, I mean, he's been bringing it to us since Search Party, but in this role, in this role as the officer Ben, I believe it is.
Great name. Role, I love it.
Like, he brings it all together. Like, you know, before it was the wholesome youth of Midwest sexiness. And now he has formed that into just like an adult, you know, grown scumbag fuckboy man. And he nailed it. It reminds me of like my dating past. He just like really gets that Midwest hotness down in this role. And I want to put some respect on it.
I love it. And I love the transition immediately from he's a scumbag. It reminds me of my dating past. Yeah. That is.
It's just like that. There's something about it. Just like a wholesome, tall Midwest boy who you're like, oh, you're corn fed and someone gave you so much milk. And, you know, they think they're so great, but they kind of smell like mustard and they don't shower enough. And they wear the same denim jacket for way too long to the point
that
where
denim has never been washed.
Never been washed, and you know it by its smell. You're like, oh yeah, that's so and so, because it's yeah, you know. And baby, when you're 23, go for it.
Okay? Nothing better.
Nothing better.
Well, if people don't know the show Yellow Jackets, we like to give a little bit of a synopsis just to get people grounded. So, the show Yellow Jackets. A wildly talented high school girls soccer team becomes the unlucky survivors of a plane crash deep in the Canadian wilderness. Yes. That's my trailer voice.
That was very like movie phone voice. Thank you.
Oh, I really felt the pressure because Michael does a great like Mr. Movie Phone voice. Oh. It's yeah, I'm not quite there.
I was like, I would watch this, and I've already watched it. Like,
I'm gonna put it on again.
You might be wondering what a like team of soccer girls surviving a plane crash has to do with a cop character named Ben. There's flashbacks, flash forwards. It's very complicated, but essentially, in the future timeline, there's murder, mayhem, and mysteries, and so the cops get involved. I don't want to give away too much. But John Reynolds plays one of the cops who gets involved. When we first meet him in episode 2, though, it's a little unclear if he's a cop. Like, we know of his partner, but you like don't connect the dots right away. And he's just like sitting at a bar in the middle of the day drinking and doing shots. And then he like offers shot. And of course he is. Of course he is. It's truly like 2 p.m. and he's like fireball. And I'm like, okay, let's calm
down.
You're
like, yes, sir, I know you.
You are not my like senior year of college boyfriend. Like, can we please? It's too much method acting.
Oh my gosh. Well, we've got to hear more about this senior year of college boyfriend. But before we do that, before we get into the main discussion, we like to get a little warm and a little slick. And we do that with the sexy trivia game. Ooh. Oops, the music turned off. Here we go. Putting it back on. There we go. The buttons are being finicky today. And we're back, baby, to the sexy trivia game. Now, Ashley, would you like to start us off with letter A?
The pilot was filmed in November 2019 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Filming for the rest of season 1 was delayed to 2021 when it was shot from May to October.
Ugh, shooting schedules get me so hot. I'll give us number B. Christina Ricci, who plays Misty, suggested that her character have a bird because she felt weird people have birds. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Ashley, would you like to finish us off with number C?
Oh, I think I can get us there. While Karen Kusama directed the original pilot, the reshoots and additional scenes filmed for the final version of the episode were directed by Jamie Travis.
Oh, Jamie. Thanks for finishing us. And that is the sexy trivia game. I love that she directed the pilot because, I mean, she rules.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely amazing. And it is one of, like, if you haven't seen the show, it just from the pilot gets you right away. It is set in the 90s for most of the time. So she really, like, brings that aesthetic alive.
Yeah. Oh, it's great because I had never seen the show before. So yesterday I watched the pilot and then I watched this episode and I'm like, holy shit, I've got to fill in everything in between.
Yeah, okay.
I got to know how we got here.
That's quite the narrative jump.
Yes.
But it's also not enough to like give anything away, really. Like, you would be like, you can go back and kind of be like, oh, now this makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah, because you were elaborating a little bit earlier for people who haven't seen the show. So it's two parallel timelines in the show. We see
two timelines, one set in 1993 and the other is like 2023, I'm pretty sure, just kind of like modern times. And it looks at the people who survived like some 30 years later and where their lives are and how they have not healed from what has happened. But you never know who survived and who didn't. Like, they don't really make it clear, except at some points, you know, you'll be like, okay, clearly this character isn't going to show up in the other timeline. But then sometimes someone will like pop up and you're like, oh, that, like, how are they going to survive? Like, you know, so there's that element to it. And then also, obviously, all of these people in the future have like lost their minds and get involved in like just the wildest little side plots. And then that's how like cops get involved and all these like guest actors who are very, very sexy. So it's one of those shows you do have to like kind of watch every episode and get into it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that older cast, it's a real like smorgasbord of like hot character actors.
Oh, yeah. Just the hottest. Like,
yes.
Honestly,
Melanie Lynskey.
The whole cast is just so attractive that it's.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a hard time saying like so attractive across the board because I'm like, okay, some of them are children. So let's make it clear. We're excluding the children.
Excluding the children. Not them. They're not even attractive. They're all like dirty and in the woods.
Yeah, exactly.
Covered in muck. So yeah, they're not even trying to be hot. Like we are looking at the adult cast because baby.
They clean up nice.
Oh, yeah.
So with John Reynolds, I love that you chose him in this role because as you mentioned earlier, we all kind of like first got to know him through Search Party. And this is a very different character. So is that when you first became aware of him?
Oh, yeah. Search Party. I knew him kind of through comedy. So it is a little odd because like I do stand up. He came up like in the same scene tangential to people I knew. So like I knew he did a show in New York that I've been to. I'd seen him on stage. I think he's like and I've also met him like when I did a Search Party panel. I just want to say as a person, he's like a wonderful angel, nice man. And I don't mean to sexualize him, but his character on Search Party, like, is from Chicago and is just this sweet little Midwest boy who like wants to do whatever his girlfriend needs. And there's like a moment when we first meet Drew and Aaliyah Shockett's character like comes out from being in the city. They like start making out and he's just like, I don't know, babe, you know that I can't get off like from sex or something. And he's like, just like jerk me off or whatever. And I was like, he is bringing a level of he is bringing a level of precision.
There we go.
Precision and detail to this role that is just like so attractive to me. And I was like, he really is just dedicated to making this like goofy man character so much more. So that was really the first time I was like, okay, he's doing something. He's really representing for a very specific kind of Midwest hotness that everyone doesn't get,
Oh, I so agree. That like specific kind of like repression and that kind of like guilt and wanting to be the good guy. Like we had on previously Rebecca Robles, who plays his girlfriend in a later season, the princess. She was on and like, his whole plot line with her. I mean, that thing of like
jealous. Yeah,
I know. Right.
When he literally runs off to be a prince for her. I was like, of course you would, baby. Like. And again, I'm talking about the character. I just can't. You know, I want to make a professional boundary clear here that I am simply talking about the characters John Reynolds brings to life with his talent.
Think when you're a performer, you have to accept the fact that like people are attracted to performers and to characters and performances, you know?
And when I met him, was he wearing like this Midwest Manitoba, Wisconsin like jacket that made me kind of lose my mind a little bit? Absolutely. Absolutely. But that again is like, I, you know, professionally, I was able to separate that from, and is he, he's a wonderful Midwest boy. I'm sure of it, but he just knows how to bring that to the characters. And so, you know, Search Party is Drew. He's very like, sweet, is very like, oh no, I've ended up in a bad position, Whereas in Yellow Jackets, his character from the get-go is like, I'm trying to be in a bad situation.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, now we're getting naughty. Now
right.
And it's like, okay, see, that's when the Midwest boy becomes a Midwest man. And
that was my first thought when he came on screen, because knowing him primarily through Search Party, I was like, oh, he's a man now.
He's a man now. Exactly. Like, and they also give him this like little mustache, like, and he's literally introduced in a denim tuxedo. Like, he's wearing just all denim. I watched the scene so many times. It's and he's just like also a skeevy cop, and you want to hear that part, but it's also like, yeah, I'm into this. I'm into him.
Yeah, the performance layers to it are really interesting, because he is so kind of like grody sexy in the way that he's introduced, like in, like you say, the denim tuxedo, he's drinking midday, but then he's also sad because his parents are getting divorced, and you know he's good at heart because he's there to help them out.
Yeah.
And then it turns out he's a cop, and it's like, whiplash.
Oh no. And you're like, oh, she maybe found someone who understands. And then you're like, oh no. And then he just like keeps playing it up, but like, also is very clear that he's not gonna sleep with her, because he doesn't like, he does have some morals,
right?
And so, you know, he he has some morals, although I think also, isn't their daughter like underage? Like, he bought her alcohol and stuff. I thought she was like just isn't she like in high school or something? I
think she's in high school, but she says to him that she's like in her senior year at Rutgers, and I couldn't keep track. I was like, okay, is she actually, or is she lying and he's drinking with a child?
I honestly couldn't remember. I think she's lying. But whatever, he didn't know at that time. So, okay. Yeah.
But he does know at the time is the thing, because he's trailing them.
Yeah, he knows that it's her. Oh, wait. Yeah, okay.
So even in the beginning, it's like, okay, he's a good guy. Like, he's got his problems.
Yeah,
but then you get to that next scene and his partner's like, what are you doing drinking with this kid?
Okay, yeah. And also, right, his partner is like best friends with that. So he totally knows. Okay, I mean, he's the kind of cop who plays fast and loose with the rules. And exactly. There was a time in this country when we celebrated that. Yeah. And then we don't anymore.
I say we go back. Whatever they gotta do. The blue.
If you're that sexy and you gotta get results.
If you got that mustache, come on.
And yeah, I mean, come on. If he's not supposed to use it, like, it's also just the, like, it happens. So he just has so much like just smoothness to it. He's literally like, oh, sad about your parents? I can tell. Why don't you tell me about it? And like within 2 seconds, this girl is like, so let me tell you about my mom's affair and like blah 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 and like the last 8 years of my life. And I'm just like, that's okay. Like, I would too, though. He would have me right there doing the same thing.
The power of the stash. I would be an open book. I'd be spilling my guts immediately.
Yeah. Like, in that just denim jacket. And also, he is tall. He is,
I read, 6'5".
Yes. And I saw it in person and I was like, oh my God. And then I respect it in person.
Yes.
But as a character in a TV show, I was like, I want to climb you to Ben, the officer, and the fine line of professional. But he's so tall.
Oh my God. And I am famously like a fan of the Short Kings. I love a short man.
I love a short king.
There is something like hypnotic when you encounter a really tall man in real life and you're like, they make you that big?
Yeah, like, they make me dizzy because I get vertigo looking up and then I don't know what's happening all of a sudden. I'm just like, what? I love the Short Kings. I've dated many. But there's something about, like, and also when it's an actor, because I feel like you get so often disappointed when you meet actors because they're all shorter than you think. Like, half the time you're like, oh my goodness, you're like a little like doll body, like you're petite.
Yeah, short, big head.
Yeah, like short, big head. Yeah. But not this. And that, I think, brings authenticity to it, because Midwest boys are just like corn fed milk. Like, the bones are just growing or whatever. Their parents are like, don't drink coffee, it makes you short. And they listen because, you know, respectability in the Midwest. We really have that. And then you like see them and you're like, wow, you're like, that's how you get Larry Bird. Okay. Boom.
There you go. I will say, I am not familiar with the Midwest. I haven't really spent any time there. So when I meet someone from the Midwest, like, I met a guy from Nebraska once who had like a real Midwestern accent.
Yeah.
And it felt so exotic to me. It was like thrilling.
Yeah. So I do have to define a point here, and I'm going to do this because people, so I from, they call me the, you know, the daughter of Northern Illinois. I am, but Nebraska is not the Midwest, actually. It's the Great Plains.
Wow.
Nebraska loves to say they're the Midwest because they would love to be included with us. You know, who wants to be in the Great Plains with Kansas and Oklahoma? It's kind of gross. But in the Midwest, we do have a defining line. It goes to Iowa. It goes to Minnesota. Anything else? No, Missouri is included. And then on the other side, we go to Ohio, Michigan, and we stop at Kentucky. And we're very picky, true Midwesterners. Okay.
Really?
I know people in Kansas love to be like, no, I'm the Midwest. And we're like, no, you're the Great Plains. Leave us alone. Like, you're not us. But it's only a thing we have to define because there are different cultures, and what you find with John Reynolds' character, Cop Ben the officer, like what you find
Cop Ben,
it's like Hot Ben, like what you get with him is this like Midwest grit that only comes from having like very strong Rust Belt towns, like going to bars in Wisconsin where you can drink with your dad when you're 16.
Oh,
like it's like there's this like Milwaukee Detroit flavor to it that you don't find in North Dakota, South Dakota. And so, you know, we like to really make that boundary clear. The Midwest, we're home to Minneapolis, Prince, Chicago, you know, lots of great things. And the Great Plains, they have, didn't Bruce Springsteen name an album after Nebraska?
Yeah.
Or something?
Oh, yeah.
That's, like a lot to be thankful for.
And Gaga has that Nebraska Baby, I Love You.
So many wonderful. And Kansas, Wizard of Oz. And embrace that heritage, you know?
Yes.
Find your own version of hotness for your men. I don't know, maybe it's cowboy hats.
To plaid shirt.
Yeah, but like the grody denim jacket, like horn stash, semi, your hair is too long. But I kind of love how it smells like your sweat from 2 days ago. That's us, baby. That's all Midwest grit. Okay. That's, you know, that's what built the factories that closed down when Reagan became president.
There we go. Yeah. And it is to, again, go back to the comparison between Search Party and Yellow Jackets. I mean, in Search Party, he definitely feels like a lanky, goofy, uncomfortable Brooklyn boy, and he's got the glasses, and like I think the glasses are a big thing because he's always a mustache actor,
always a mustacher, which he pulls it off so well.
He really does, but he moves that mustache into Yellow Jackets, and he becomes like a solid man. His body language is different.
His body language and the hair was longer. It was just, I don't know if he bulked up or if the denim just like adds weight. Denim's a heavy material.
This is true. Maybe he bulked up from wearing the denim because it's so heavy.
Carrying that around all day.
Exactly.
But it's like that like kind of muscle that like you get in the Midwest because you're like pushing a lawnmower or like doing menial outdoor tasks, but like you're not a farmer.
Right.
You know, it's like just enough lean muscle to be like, oh yeah, I sometimes play basketball.
Right. Yeah.
Like serious. And again, just comes to life in Yellow Jackets. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad they made the choice to like follow him through the season. So he's introduced in this episode, and it's not a one-off baby. You get to watch him be even more Midwest. And there was some people were like, well, the show is set in like New Jersey. He seems very, you know, like New Jersey, but it's like, no,
he feels out of place.
He feels out of place. And you can't like you hire a John Reynolds. You're not getting the Midwest out of him. Okay.
Right.
The boy, like he looks like he should just, I don't know, be waving an American flag on a tractor. I just like, that's what, if you hire him, that is the vibe you want. And that's what comes through in the show.
I agree. And so I am like famously horny for like every comedian. If anyone is funny at all, I like immediately am in love with them. So, I mean, he's playing a much more serious role in this show. So, I mean, how, you've obviously known his work for a while and you've seen him do the goofy comedy stuff. So how has your relationship with his work changed from seeing him do that to something more dramatic?
Yeah, it is. Because I also didn't, like, he is, obviously he's a cop in the show. So obviously villain, you know, ACAB. Yeah. And so I was like afraid to hate him, obviously, because I'm like, no, he's so cute. I don't want to hate him. And you end up, because he breaks, you know, so many rules. He's not a good guy. But I mean, he pulls it off so well and makes it sexy. So I kind of just was like, okay, he's showing his range. Like, he's not always going to be the good. Like, you know, when Ryan Reynolds, not Ryan Reynolds, when Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Very different. When Ryan Gosling finally did Drive. This is that for Midwest boys to me. Like, I don't want to be, but Yellow Jackets for John Reynolds is basically his Drive, is what I'm saying. In terms of how sexy it is. And that denim jacket he carries is his
everyone's got a jacket.
And there, see, now you see all the parallels are right there. And
they truly are. So a message to the men listening, you got to get a signature jacket. That's what makes you a man.
And get a little dark. And I'm excited to see, like, I think obviously he'll get more serious, like, dark acting roles after this. I think, you know, he isn't going to always play that, like, goofy rom-com role now, which we've seen him do. He was also in, Four Weddings and a Funeral, the reboot they did, I think. But still always, like, comedic stuff. Mm. But, I mean, I kind of like that. I think we still have, okay, and this is going to be a controversial thing to say, we still have Joe Pera to represent the nice Midwest hotness. So I'm set there, you know? I can go watch Joe Pera, and that's good. You know, if I want a nice Midwest boy to tell me about tomatoes, that's an option. But right now, let's just, like, give a moment to the sexy darkness of the evil Midwest man.
I agree. Oh, my God. And I love this dichotomy. I love, you know, that you've got one guy who will help you build a bean arch and one guy who will give you underage shots.
Yes. And that is the totality of men from the Midwest, basically. That's how, Representation is amazing.
So beautiful and so needed. These white men from the Midwest, they really need representation.
Really
like this
representation for too long. All of the love interest came from the East Coast, Connecticut, California. Not anymore. Okay, now it's just tall beanstalk guys and with moppy hair that again smells like they don't shower, because they don't, like, they smell like outside all the time, but like you kind of like it.
You get the pheromones, it's good.
I can't help it. Okay, I'm from the Midwest. I don't have a choice. It was just put into me. I like, they brainwash you as soon as you get there.
Yeah, so clearly we understand the intensity of your attraction to the Midwestern man, but would you say that that's your, like, main type when it comes to TV crushes, or do you have a kind of omnivorous view of it?
I have an omnivorous view of it. I definitely, like, I can really crush on a vibe, but I guess there is, some of my biggest crushes are always, like, a Midwest element. Obviously, we are all saying yes, chef, to The Bear and Jeremy Allen White and Carmen.
Yes.
Midwest boy, baby. And I also call Jeremy Allen White a Midwest boy because he was in Shameless for like half of his life. So
He's honorary.
Honorary, yeah. He spent so much time shooting on the South Side. So yeah, he counts.
Yeah.
I also loved, oh my gosh, I can't remember her character. I'm going to look it up really fast.
Yeah.
I'm like, Roberta Calindres. She was in A League of Their Own, and her character in A League of Their Own, Midwest, like, again, just very like, I just want to play baseball in the Midwest. So sexy. So, you know, I do think that Midwest sexiness, it isn't just like the tall, lanky, like, white guy. It's a vibe. Like, you know, Jeremy Allen White is like 5'4".
It's so hot.
Like, there's like a grittiness to it that like, again, comes from like drinking water that like has lead in it. And I can make that joke because I'm from Rockford, Illinois, and we have more lead in our water than Flint. So
this is lead privilege.
Lead privilege. So if you're like, wow, what's wrong with her? It's because I grew up in a town with more lead in our water than Flint. Okay. So that's the problem. Nobody talks about it. And Like, it's that kind of negligence that, like, gives you some grit to be Midwest hot. And those are characters. So it's like any character that I feel captures that in a show, I will immediately have a crush on it. Like, and you just kind of feel it, you know? So and it doesn't always look like the same thing.
I think the sort of that sort of like unplaceable grit thing is so true. Cause I mean, so many actors, you know, not to generalize about actors, but you know, a lot of them are kind of soft and like, and it comes through on screen and like half of them look like super goofy when they try to play like a gritty character. Cause you're like, you had a manicure earlier. Like,
I can tell you've never touched a rake in your life.
Right.
You know? Like, you've never shoveled a sidewalk, and then you'll get like a Midwest actor with some grit on him and you can tell like, oh, this guy's really had like a summer job at like a sandwich stand or something. Like, at least it's not like hard work. I'm not saying like,
but it's like you're a normal person.
You're a normal person. It's like, okay, like you got some just wear on you of the real world. And it just creates this like sexy grittiness to a character that I love to see. So
I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, that Yellow Jackets embraced it. I don't even care if the creators come out tomorrow and they're like, actually, Officer Ben is like born and raised in New Jersey. I would be like, oh no, you don't understand the character you wrote.
Wrong. You guys got it wrong, actually.
You got it wrong. You hired John Reynolds. Like the baby
prince.
So
this is on you.
You hired John Reynolds, the baby prince of Wisconsin? Like, no, you wanted that vibe. Like, he can't get rid of it. Like, look at his beautiful, sparkling Wisconsin eyes. Like, they don't stop. He can't. Like, that's
those long arms.
Those long arms, you know,
longest in the biz. Nicholas Braun, step aside.
Okay, he's so British also. It's like
And he's like, where is he from? He's not really British, right? He's like,
he's really British. He was in Skins when he was a kid.
God,
he's Tony Skins in the first. He's like,
oh my
Skins
god
boy.
This is huge. Wow,
that's how I know him.
And this has like shifted my entire world.
And I will say, as someone who loved Skins, even Skins had characters who represented Midwest hotness. If you look at like Cook, if you look at Joe Dempsey's character in The First Generation, those were two characters, Midwest hotness.
Sort of like Northern English guy, like he had a little Midwest hotness.
Like a dad
there
who definitely was in the union until he died and like worked a factory job. See, connect. That's what it is.
Oh, that's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. I will, going back to like the lack of grit in some actors, I rewatched recently that old viral video of the guy trying to audition for Stanley Kubrick. And he does the monologue from The Outsiders. Like, I ain't never gonna walk no more.
I know. I feel like every like high school drama student at some point does that monologue and like gets obsessed with that movie. And it's like, you don't find, it's so hard to find actors who can pull that off nowadays because they don't.
It really is.
But if they did a modern version of that movie with John Reynolds, I'd be right there opening day paying $10 million to see it, frankly.
Oh, yeah, I would be right beside you. So do you remember your first TV crush?
Oh, my gosh. My first TV crush. I feel like there's probably like my first kid one where it's like, oh, I had a crush on like, I don't know, probably someone on Barney or something, you know, where it's like, that doesn't really count. I feel like my first sort of knowledgeable, like, okay, I'm sexually into this was of course like Sean Hunter on Boy Meets World.
Yes.
Like the first time I tied it to, oh, this is giving me a feeling when he is on the screen. I think it would be that. My mom would probably be like, it was Jonathan Taylor Thomas and like Home Improvement or something or whatever he was.
Yes. Oh, but Sean was good because he was also tortured.
He was tortured. He lived like in a trailer park. Again, those connections of like the just get it out the dirt, Midwest. So I've always just liked that vibe, but
yeah, you need a guy with like a little life behind him.
Yeah, and he I don't know, like I just remember truly being like, I want to see him kiss everyone. Like that's how I thought of it as a kid, of just like, please make him kiss Angela. Like I want to see it. Yeah. Like that's all I really identified as like a crush, is that I just was like, I want to see him do things that make my heart flutter.
Yeah. Please kiss somebody. I like it when you kiss people.
I like when the camera lingers on his face. And
like, what if her lips were my lips on his lips?
Right? Like, I know I definitely like would cut out magazine pictures, had them on my walls.
Yeah.
I also, in fifth grade, had a really heavy crush on Kurt Cobain.
Oh my god, again, these like sweaty greasy boys.
Yeah, sweaty greasy boys who are like kind of sad, and like I also didn't know he was dead by then, so I'm not that old. By the time I was in fifth grade when 9/11 happened, so 2001.
Oh, yeah.
And I just like, a friend was like, you got to check out this album, Never Mind, it'll change your life. I put it in my Walkman and I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing. I'm obsessed with this band. I just went on, I don't know how I was able to like get pictures and put them on my wall. I would like take them out of magazines and stuff. And it never occurred to me what had happened. And then one day I'm watching VH1 Behind the Music, and they're like, VH1 Behind the Music, Nirvana. And I'm like, oh my god, this is my new favorite band. I'm about to learn so much about them. Cannot wait. And I start watching it. I'm like, this is amazing. Oh my god, they really are so, wow, I can't believe. And then I'm like, wait, what? Like, why do they keep, why isn't Kurt in this? I'm like, why do they keep saying, like, where's, I'm like, why do they keep saying Kurt was? What is about to happen here? And
oh no.
Then I screamed, like, when they finally got to, like, I remember them showing, like, outside of his house where it happened. And they're like, when the day when I found out Kurt killed himself. And I just screamed, and my mom came downstairs and was like, what is wrong? And I was like, why didn't you tell me Kurt Cobain is dead? And she was like, are you fucking stupid? She's like, I thought you knew that. She was like, well, he died when you were, like, a baby. And I'm like, why would I know that? Like, why would I?
That's so like, fucking funny.
Early internet, okay? I wasn't, like, Googling it. I had a hand-drawn picture. Okay, that's what my grandma had. These books. She collected like antique magazine covers.
Oh my god.
And they were like pressed in, but and so they had all of these covers of like Kurt Cobain, like from when Nirvana was big, but none from like when it was like he died. And so I was just like, his Rolling Stone cover here, oh, with the glasses, so cool. And like I hand drew a photo of him. I like traced it over, and I framed it and put it over my bed.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
And yeah, and then I literally was screaming, and I was like, Mom, how could you not tell me that Kurt Cobain, love of my life, is dead?
Oh my god, that's so sweet. That is like such a like oh my god, blast from the past, because like kids today, it's like if you've got a crush on someone on TV, one, you can find out they're dead immediately.
Yeah, immediately. There, you can find out their natal chart, like everything about them in mere moments. Like you can watch their Instagram live constantly and know what they're doing every second of the day. And back in the day, we didn't have that, okay? You would just like have a crush on Travis from Blink 182, and you would just like cross your fingers and be like, maybe their tour bus will break down in front of the house.
Oh god, I remember that. I thought all the time, I was like, maybe I'll sit by Edward Norton on a plane and he'll fall in love with me.
And you just think like, this could happen. Yeah. I would be like, Blink 182 will be coming through Rockford, Illinois. Their tour bus breaks down right on my street, and I'm like, oh my gosh, guys, I'm here to help.
Oh my god, I remember, I guess I must have been like 14 or so, I remember seeing that episode of Louis, and it was the one where he like goes to the small town and the girl's like in love with him, and they like threaten him to get him to stay and like be your boyfriend.
Oh my god.
And I'm sure it seemed like wish fulfillment to like grown women watching. I'm sure they were like, ugh, but I watched it at like that age and I was like, yeah, what if like this comedian came to my town
and we just suddenly meet, and I truly believed like that would happen. Like I would go to Warped Tour at 16 and just be like, I'm gonna run into Travi McCoy from Gym Class Heroes, and we're in love forever, and that's how this is gonna go.
I'm 13 years old, I have on my Old Navy dress.
I have my best Charlotte Russe on, and I'm really ready to get out here.
I have got the dumbest belt you've ever seen.
And five necklaces to really make it work.
They are so long, they go down to my crotch.
And for some reason, a vest. I'm wearing a vest.
Oh my God, when I was a teen, I had one pair of heels and I wore them to school like every day. Didn't matter what, if they went with it.
Nope, I had like one pair of cute shoes and I was like, isn't that what you do? You get a pair of cute shoes and you wear them every day. Like,
yeah, this is what women do.
That's what women do. And my friends are like, actually, no, most people have like multiple, they like rotate and they like go with the outfit. And I was just like, oh, I thought you just like, okay.
Right.
I learned the wrong thing from Sex and the City, I guess.
I was like, you guys aren't sophisticated enough. You wouldn't understand.
Get it. Okay. It's very.
This is how grown people
this
dress.
This is high class what we do over here.
I do remember I had a crush on a Polish pianist who was like a really young winner of this big competition. And so I wore my nice heels to high school when I was like 14 and dressed up and had my friend take pictures of me in the parking lot so I could send them to the Polish pianist.
I mean, of course, he
would come and fall in love with me.
That was when like you actually would have like a digital camera. And I remember doing the same where I'd be like, friends, please take a picture of me at this DIY show. I have on the coolest outfit. And it would be like truly capri pants.
Right.
And I'd be like, no, we're taking pictures for my MySpace. So someone thinks I'm cute. Like, that's what we're doing. Yes.
I'm going to manually upload these later.
Yeah. And every single one. I'm not like clicking through to edit just down to the best ones. No, the whole library is getting uploaded. And then I'm just going to name the album The Date. And it's going to be
yes. Hit. Oh my God. I hope that the Zoomers who harass you on Twitter don't find this episode because they're going to bitches.
They're going to be like, really? You were truly walking with Martin Luther King. You are the oldest person in the world.
Their conception of age is like, I feel so different from what mine was
when I was in my 20s, like basically from 19 up, all of my friends were older than me and like in their 29, 30s. I always had friends in their early, like I, that wasn't that old to me, but I always was the youngest friend.
Right.
But it wasn't like weird. And now I feel like I talk to like a 24-year-old and they're like, what are you doing? This is creepy. Like, why are you? And it's like, oh, I just was going to ask, like, I don't know, what movie you like? I don't know.
I mean, they would never make 13 going on 30 now. It'd be like 13 going on 20 and a half.
Yeah,
and they'd be like, I'm so old now.
I'm so old. Like, I don't even know. Like, let me not make a joke because I truly have angered so many Gen Xers.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we got to steer clear of the Zoomers.
I'm afraid of them. They're a mighty bunch. And, you know, I'm looking forward to Generation Alpha. I'm already on to the next. I'm like Generation Alpha. Those kids, they like were born on camera and they're already sick of it. And they're just like, stop. Like,
yeah, they're going to go back to like writing on scrolls.
Yeah. And they're going to be like, we love it. Like, no, I don't ever want to document anything. And I'm going to be like, I'm with you kids.
Oh, the dream. This is what we hope for.
Okay. And they're
Well, so if anyone who is also in love with Midwestern Boys and John Reynolds and enjoys the show Yellow Jackets, is there another TV show that you would like give as a recommendation based on their enjoyment of Yellow Jackets?
Yeah, I mean, if the element you like is the hotness of the Midwestness to it, I would definitely say go watch Search Party, and also has like the kind of fun element of like a murder mystery. I would also say deep cut here, Bored to Death, which is on Max. It was an HBO show back in the day, and it is very New York. It is very like New Yorker, but it's like one of those rare times when like Zach Galifianakis is in it, like the cast brings something to it that does a bit more than your like typical like New York murder mystery. I feel like it's just like a hipper sort of Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
if you're hip to Schwartzman after Asteroid City. Like,
exactly.
He's looking good in that show.
He looks real good in it. And then I would also recommend Based on a True Story, which is on Peacock and has Chris Messina, And he's playing a little angry man, which I guess he's always kind of like
that's
angry.
His thing, right?
That's kind of his thing. But in this one, it's like a different kind of angry. It's like a little more sinister, and there is sort of a, I don't know, like I wouldn't be shocked if we see him in a denim jacket next season. Like it's a very like turn to darkness, but still just like adorable little Christmasino where you're like, oh. And God, there's like a serial killer in it who's really hot and tall. So
gosh. Yeah, Messina's really good because I think to be like a hot, angry guy, you kind of have to be a little guy, right?
Got to be a little guy. So it's
a little
like,
too scary when you're a tall, angry guy.
You're tall and angry. That's no one likes that. That's people are setting alarms. People are putting you on lists. Nobody likes that. But if you're, you know, 5'6", it's like, okay.
He's a little spark plug.
Yeah. Like, look at you, little Napoleon complex. It's, you know, it's like, okay, we get it. You know, we see why you're doing that. And it's honestly adorable. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, he plays like an angry tennis coach. So it's pretty nice.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's wearing those tennis shorts. It's worth watching. And, you know, it is set in California, but, you know, Chris Messina is Messina, baby. He's like bringing some some real like Italian edge to it at all times.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. So we talked a little bit about John Reynolds' background in comedy. Are there any comedic performances on TV right now that you find particularly hot?
Ooh, that is like truly. OK, all the time. So there's this show Primo that just premiered on Amazon Freebie. It's so good. It's about this like Hispanic family and this, you know, kid who has like, I think like five uncles and with his mom, like he lives with his mom. They all live with the mom. And one of the uncles in the show is so funny and sexy to me. Like he plays the responsible, mature uncle who just like loves his wife. And he has this deep, sexy voice where he owns his own business. And he's just like, oh yeah, tio, da da da. And it's just like, I can't even, it's like such a deep, sexy voice. It's just, I can't even get down there to try to do it, but like as soon as I started watching the show, I was like, oh, I am in love with him. I'm gonna watch every single moment. He plays it with such sincerity. Like there's just these moments where he like has this deep Batman voice and he's like, I don't mean to cry, I just love my wife so much. And it's like,
oh my God. Okay, I know what I'm watching tonight.
Gotta put that on the list. And also on Freevee, nominated for so many Emmys recently, James Marsden in Jury Duty.
Yeah.
Very sexy to me. And just because it was so silly and comedic, like pretending to like take a dump and all of that. Like how he somehow still made me have a crush on him after playing that kind of character. I just am in love with it. He's still my prince. Like,
The man is magic. He is so fucking impressive.
Absolutely magic. And then this one, I'm going to go with Guy Branum, who was just in Platonic, the newest season. My favorite part of it. I had such a little crush on him in the show. He's so funny, very, very gay. So I know he's not interested, but a hilarious stand-up comic who just brought it to, you know, he plays like the friend of the husband in the office, but just like brought so much comedy to that role that I was like, I want to have a cocktail with you.
I love this. Oh my God, well those are all great. I've got so many shows on my list now.
So excited to watch.
Oh my God, well we're gonna wrap up in just a minute, but before we do, we have a little quiz called Copulating Comedians. So these are five questions. I will give you a hint, and they are about comedians that have at some point in time been in a couple together.
Okay.
So I'll give you a very dumb little hint, and then you can let me know who you think it is. And we're spanning TV history because I know you're the expert. And there's a little bit of film in there.
Okay.
But not much. Okay.
Let's see.
All right. Number one. These two curly-haired 70s faves had the kind of chemistry that could bring the dead back to life. 70s, curly hair.
Yeah, couple. So that is this two people from that 70s show?
No. From the real 70s.
Oh, from the real 70s. I was about to be like Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher, obviously. But I was like, neither of them has curly hair.
Yeah, it was a trick question. Bring the Dead Back to Life is a reference to one of their movies for one of them. And then the other one we checked in with on Saturday nights.
I have no idea. Oh, Gilda Radner, yeah. And Steve Martin?
Gene Wilder.
Wilder. Us.
Gilda and Gene.
Yes, yes. Famous, yes. Absolutely.
So cute. Such a cute couple. If
I saw them across the bar, I would want them to hit on me. And I'm
Give them a little.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, number two. The only splainin' needed is why the fuck Aaron Sorkin made a movie about this on and off screen couple.
Oh, yeah. Lucille Ball and Ricky.
Desi Arnaz.
Yes, yeah.
Did you see that movie?
I didn't. Like, a bunch of people said it actually was pretty good.
Wait, really? I never saw it because I could not bring myself.
Yeah, I just never was that interested in their story, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I never really got into I Love Lucy. I'm not that old. So, yeah. Right.
My sister is 4 years younger and hates almost everything old. But for some reason, she's like obsessed with I Love Lucy. That's the strangest phenomenon.
That was like the one show. Like, I was obsessed with Happy Days when I was a kid, but then I Love Lucy would come on and I'd be like, no, thank you. This is no. And I just, turn it off.
That's fair enough. Okay, so number three. Three cheers for this sunny couple who acted together on a famous sitcom and a beloved children's movie.
Oh, is it Rob McElhenney and Caitlin Olson?
Oh, another person from Sunny. An older person from Sunny.
Oh, Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman?
Yeah.
Is that her last name?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so she was on Cheers, Three Cheers, and he was on Sunny. And then they both were on Taxi and Matilda. Yeah.
Yeah, and right, didn't they divorce for a little and they got back together?
Was that I think that I love that they have this seemingly like very passionate, chaotic relationship.
Yeah, that's what I want. Into old age, we're still just like going back and forth with it.
Oh, it's so hot. Oh my God. Two real characters who just can't stay away from each other.
Yeah.
All right, number four. Our hearts were wrecked and our breath arrested when these sitcom favorites divorced in 2006.
Okay.
Our hearts were wrecked.
I there was a TBS show called Wrecked, and I just am thinking about that now, and I don't think it's that, because nobody else watched that show.
No, I certainly didn't watch that show. Think of an alternate spelling of wreck. And our breath was arrested.
I got the arrested development.
And then they got divorced in 2006.
Is it a Portia de Rossi and Ellen?
This one was Amy Poehler and Will Arnett.
Oh, what?
Yeah, do you remember that?
Amy Poehler? Oh, yes. Wait. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. I don't know why you said Amy Poehler and I immediately was thinking Amy Schumer and I was like, what? Yes. Oh my gosh.
He does like Amy younger Poehler women and she's a bit younger. So
yeah, I forgot all about that relationship. Right? Okay.
Oh, that one, that really messed me up when I was a teen. I was like, is love not real?
I mean, I guess I kind of remember, didn't she like leave someone for him too? I think I kind of remember the drama of it.
Oh yeah. I think, yes. Oh my God. Yeah. And then I think he maybe cheated. It was a whole big scandal.
Yeah. I mean, but hot, deep voice. I love that.
Listen, 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah.
So tall. Hot man.
I get it. I get it, Amy.
Final and fifth question. This is kind of related to the previous one. Okay. Later, Amy Poehler briefly found love with a famous comedian who maybe has the most wild blue text on Wikipedia dad in all of Hollywood. Famous comedian with a maybe evil dad.
Oh, Nick Kroll.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Yes, of course, yeah. As everyone knows. Yeah.
Evil dad comedian, yeah, Nick Kroll.
Son of the Lord Father Bear and Nick Kroll, yes, yeah. Yes.
Weinstein connected Nick Kroll, sure.
Yes, I'm aware, yeah.
Yeah, but apparently she wrote very sweetly about him in her memoir.
I mean, he's a sweet boy. I he went to a country day school like me. He's a charming guy who, I'm sure would be amazing to date. He can't help the family you're born into.
Exactly. Your dad's your dad. You don't get to choose him.
Yeah.
No. We're Nick Kroll fans in this house.
Hey, if I was Amy Poehler, I would date him too.
I mean, come on. Listen, I saw there was a movie that came out a few years ago called, I think, Operation Something. But it was about trying to find Adolf Eichmann. And it had some bad Zionist politics that I couldn't get on board with. But I did see it twice because Nick Kroll looked really good in his high pants.
I rewatched Kroll Show recently and I was I kind of am attracted to him a lot of the time in this show. Yeah. And that was a surprise.
Oh, I find him very sexy.
Which, I hate that I associate him so closely with Big Mouth, a show that is so not sexy to me. I'm just it's just so not sexy.
Yeah, I don't want to think about the little animated little boy penis. I want to think about grown up Nick Kroll loving wearing high pants.
Yeah, you know what he needs? You know what he needs? He needs his drive role. He needs his dark. He needs his time to do that.
He just hasn't found his jacket. But once he does,
I don't think his is denim. His hotness is not a Midwest hotness, not at all. My dad is a father baron who owns an oil mine or whatever.
Yeah, an oil mine. Yeah,
yeah. But I think his would be a leather jacket.
Oh yeah, I'm feeling this.
He
very
needs
much.
His New Jersey greaser roll or whatever.
Yes. Perfect. Oh my god. Well, Ashley, this was so fun. I had such a blast talking with you. Yeah, would you like to tell the listeners where they can find you and if you have anything coming up that they should look out for?
Yeah, if you love TV and want to hear me talk about it, listen to my podcast, TV I Say with Ashley Ray. I interview your favorite actors, writers, about all the TV they love. It's a lot of fun, especially now with all of us on strike. We're talking about being on strike and what it's like. Lots of fun things. So, give that a listen. And then you can follow me anywhere at The Ashley Ray. And I have a comedy album coming out this fall called Ice Cream Money. So keep an eye out for that.
Very exciting stuff. And you guys can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Everyone Is Hot Pod. That's one as in numeral one, not O-N-E. Everyone Is Hot Pod. And thank you again, Ashley. What a delight. What a blast. And for everyone out there, please stay horny.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.